Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
Gaga for Google.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. It just keeps getting bigger and better for Google, especially its stockholders. The internet search engine has continued to grow its number of users, advertisers, and its revenue. The company beat market expectations with first quarter profits that increased 69% from a year ago. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli.
This is like oil kind of profits, without the oil, without the carbon deposits.
What's amazing is that as high as profit expectations are on Wall Street for Google, it still manages to exceed them.
What's driving revenue is that the internet continues to grow, that you and I continue to use the internet, and that people who are trying to sell stuff are realizing more and more how great and wonderful the internet is to sell stuff, and that Google's way of doing it is the smartest way out there.
When you take away advertising commissions and other payments to partners, Google's first quarter revenue comes to more than $2.5 billion. That's $40 million more than analyst estimates. Asian markets staged a big rally today. Stocks were up in Shanghai and in Tokyo. The Nikkei added 80 points. European markets are also surging in early trading. It was another record-setting close for the Dow, but Wall Street wasn't exactly bullish. The Dow added 4 points to 12,808. The Nasdaq slipped 5 points to 2505, and the S&P lost a point. It's at 1470. Right now, the price of oil is about $62.70 a barrel. The board of Britain's biggest pharmacy chain, Boots, has agreed to a multi-billion-dollar takeover bid from an American private firm. Kolber Kravis Roberts has offered more than $20 billion for the group. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
If Boots' shareholders agree to the deal, it will be easily the biggest private equity buyout in European history. It'll be the first time this has happened to one of the UK's top 100 publicly listed companies. Private equity is not getting a good press in Britain. There's a growing perception that private equity deals are all about asset stripping. But Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investments says this isn't the case with Boots. He says Kolber Kravis Roberts and its allies are intent on developing the business. Taking it private will protect it from breakup.
If the company had stayed public and its share price weakened, then it could be open for someone to come in and buy it and potentially break it up. And then you would see some of the darker side of private equity.
This morning, a rival private equity group raised its bid for Boots. But analysts believe unless a full-scale bidding war develops and the price goes through the roof, KKR will win the day. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The trial of former chief executive of Quest Communications, Joseph Nacio, ended yesterday. For a while, it looked as if he would be acquitted of insider trading charges. As the judge read 23 consecutive not guilty verdicts, Mr. Nacio was smiling. That smile became a frown at count 24 when the judge said guilty. And guilty was repeated 18 times. Mr. Nacio sold $52 million in Quest stock after he warned investors that the company would miss revenue targets. Now, he faces life in prison.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
It's a small world after all. These days, when it comes to movies, movies are walking the line between domestic and international. More and more, Hollywood depends on a film getting great box office overseas, not just here in the U.S. For that reason, studios are spending big bucks for premieres in foreign markets. Mike Spire is the managing editor for Daily Variety. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
So I was a little surprised to see that the film Spider-Man 3 premiered in Tokyo before it shows up on screens in the U.S. Why?
If you look at the numbers, the studios are finally realizing, I mean, they've known for a long time, but they are finally getting it, that opening in a foreign market that has huge amounts of movie-going populations like Japan or like even, believe it or not, China, can do amazing things for your movie because America is huge, but it's not the only market. And if you look at the numbers from last year, you see that a lot of movies made even double what they made in America, and that's the money you're going after.
But why open it earlier? I mean, if you're going to make the money there anyway, why does it have to open first in Tokyo as opposed to third or something?
It's kind of like a platform release, and what they're doing is they're spreading the word, and they've just decided that Japan, for instance, in Spider-Man's example, that Japan has such an amazing population of people who are such fans of the project, and they love Tobey Maguire.
So it creates a big buzz?
Creates a huge buzz overseas, and then when it finally gets here... It's almost the other way around. They know they're going to make the money here.
Right.
So why not create that buzz overseas? And now what they've done is created this huge, huge product.
So when you look at domestic and you look at overseas or foreign, the numbers are more and more getting to be bigger overseas than they are here, aren't they?
All you have to do is look at movies like The Da Vinci Code last year, number two on the list worldwide. It made about $218 million domestically. It more than doubled that. Not globally, but just in foreign markets. So it made another $540 million around the world.
Since Hollywood is depending more on foreign markets for bigger profits, is there any evidence that those markets are influencing the kind of movies the studios are making?
Well, certainly, going back to The Da Vinci Code, a book that was successful around the world, a major movie star like Tom Hanks, and then you get kind of a foreign cast mixed in with that. So someone like Audrey Tautou, who's a French actress, joined him in that. That couldn't hurt the possibilities in Europe because she's so well known there. That combination seems to be the one that really worked in that case, and I guarantee you're going to see that in a lot of other big movies.
Thank you very much, Mike.
My pleasure.
Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. Oh, one last word about that BlackBerry blackout earlier this week. Its maker, Research in Motion, says the problem was a software update that wasn't tested thoroughly enough. The company has been largely silent about the problem, which has angered some of the millions of BlackBerry users. Maybe a text message apology would be the way to go. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.